and speak loud and clear. Rav Asher's article, Why Are Four Questions Asked Specifically on Passover Night? Reason dictates, as we see, when does one ask questions? When he is lacking. He's asking, why do I need to suffer from not having what I understand, what I think that I need? He comes to the Creator with complaints and demands and asks, why do I need to suffer?
But
when a person has abundance, what questions are there to ask when he feels that he is free, that he is not enslaved by anything, or feels that what he does not have, pains him, giving him room to ask why? Therefore, we should understand why we ask questions specifically on Passover night, which is the festival of freedom. Also, they are called four questions, meaning four times why. Precisely when he's not lacking anything. According to what the Ari says, Passover night is more complete than the eve of Shabbat. He says that on the eve of Shabbat, there is an ascent of Malchut to Mochin of Neshama. But on Passover night, there is an ascent of Malchut to Mochin of Chaya, such as on the days of Shabbat. Thus, we should understand why we ask questions specifically at a time of wholeness. Certainly, there are many answers to this, and we will interpret this in a work. It is known that the work we were given in Torah and Mitzvot, commandments, is that through them we will correct ourselves to be worthy of receiving delight and pleasure, since for this man was created. As it is known that the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. However, to avoid the shame upon reception of the pleasures, since every branch wishes to resemble its root, and since the root bestows upon the created beings, there is disparity of form between the giver and the receiver, which causes us shame. Therefore, to correct it, a restriction and concealment were placed on the upper providence. Thus, through the restriction and concealment, a place was made in which we are so far from the Creator that it causes us to have very little understanding of His guidance over His creations. It is written about it in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, where he says that if providence were revealed, and for instance, one who ate something forbidden instantly choked, and one who performed a mitzvah immediately discovered a wonderful delight in it, similar to the greatest pleasures in our corporeal world. What fool would even contemplate tasting something forbidden when he knew he would immediately lose his life for it, or wait to receive a great corporeal pleasure when it came into his hands? Thus, the restriction and concealment, which were made to correct the shame, cause us all the labor and remoteness from the Creator. It follows that the restriction and concealment were made to benefit the lower one. Thus, there is no point in asking about providence. Why is the Creator treating us as it seems to us? For we do not see the good, and we suffer in exile, poverty, and so on. In other words, everyone complains about why the Creator behaves with undisclosed guidance towards us, that it is only good. For this reason, it is forbidden to slander His guidance, the way He behaves with the created beings. Instead, we must believe with faith above reason that it should be precisely as we see it. And concerning what we feel, we should walk in the ways of Torah, as the sages have instructed us, how to behave with all these feelings that we feel, and to say about them with faith above reason, they have eyes and see not. As it is written in the article from 19. Good and evil. With the above said, we can see why slander is worse than other things. It is because slander is primarily from the serpent, who slandered the Creator and told him, "The Creator commanded you not to eat from the tree of knowledge, but to keep it in concealment and in hiding." The serpent told him about that. You shouldn't obey what he told you, that the tree of knowledge should remain hidden from the lower ones. Instead, his argument was that everything should be open. That was the serpent's slander. It follows that he spoke about providence, that the Creator's conduct with the created beings in undisclosed guidance was wrong. But in truth, the concealment is only so that the creatures will be able to receive the delight and pleasure without shame. This can only be when the creatures receive everything for the sake of the Creator, meaning that all of their reception will be only in order to bestow. It follows that the serpent's slander is not a part. Rather, he spoke about the entire correction that was executed on Malchut, so that the lower ones, who are extended from her, would be able to achieve adhesion, called equivalence of form, by which there would be the correction that enables them to receive the delight and pleasure without any unpleasantness, called shame. Because of this correction, we were given the Torah and mitzvot, by which to be able to emerge from self-love, which is separation from the Creator, and achieve equivalence of form. As our sages said, I've created the evil inclination, I've created the spice of Torah. According to the serpent's slander, there should be open providence, meaning everything will be disclosed, even though the Creator explicitly told Adam, "But of the tree of knowledge you shall not eat." Instead, this discernment must be covered, and only at the end of correction it will be possible to illuminate his discernment. About that, too, the serpent told him not to obey the Creator. In other words, the Creator did not do this in Adam's favor, that the Creator's guidance over the creatures, the good who does good, will be undisclosed, but for other reasons. It turns out that the serpent's slander was a general thing. Meaning, he said that all the corrections we should do by the power of Torah and Mitzvot, he said that they are not for man's purpose. This is the reason why slander is the most severe of all prohibitions, since it encompasses the whole of the words idol worships. As we said above, the Creator told him that the tree of knowledge should be in concealment and must not be disclosed before the end of correction. When the serpent came to him and told him not to obey the Creator, that this great pleasure was found in a tree of knowledge which the Creator hid from him, he took to heart the serpent's slander. This is called that he was heretical. Rashi interpreted that his heart leaned towards idolatry, meaning that his heart leaned towards what the serpent told him, that it would be better if there were open providence in the world, as the serpent advised him. This is called heretic, one who does not like his governance. This means that he thought, according to the serpent's advice, that if the tree of knowledge were revealed and there were open providence, many would engage in the holy work. For the above reason, that everyone would observe Torah and Mitzvot, because it would all be clothed in the intellect, within reason, and not that everything must be above reason. In other words, the tree of knowledge means that everything is revealed within reason. And on that was the commandment to refrain from eating. That is, our work towards the Creator should be above reason and not within reason. Although it is reasonable to think that if everything were clothed within reason, the servants of the Creator would proliferate. This is the meaning of the serpent's slander, who spoke badly about providence. Since the Creator made the work of the Creator above reason, it does not mean that the Creator could make everything within reason. Instead, we must believe, although we do not understand it, that this guidance is the best. And so did Baal HaSulam say, that the Creator chose the way of faith above reason, because the Creator knows this is the most successful way for the lower ones to reach the goal called adhesion with the Creator, which is equivalence of form, called receiving in order to bestow. Introduction to the book Panim Meirot Umasbirot. Nevertheless, with regard to our work, we should interpret that one who slanders providence, saying that he does not want to believe that his guidance over the creatures is benevolent, and that it is so to believe above reason. However, the person says, if there were open providence, meaning if I could see with my mind that the Creator bestows benevolently upon all the creatures, and if it were within reason, only in this way will I be able to observe Torah and mitzvot. This comes because of the sin of the tree of knowledge, that a person wants to go specifically within reason and not believe above reason. Hence, when he does not believe that he is good and does good, he is slandering the Creator. This is rooted in the time when the serpent slandered the Creator to Adam HaRishon. When a person wants to go within reason, this is called the sin. The lesson is that we do not know how to appreciate the ascent. That is, we do not understand the value of a single moment of having the power to believe in the Creator and to have some sensation of the greatness of the Creator. In the state of ascent, we desire to annul before him without any rhyme and reason, but like a candle before a torch. Naturally, we cannot enjoy the fact that the Creator has brought us closer and has given us some nearness, from which we should derive the joy and elation that it should bring us. But since we don't have the importance to appreciate it, we can only enjoy according to the importance, as explained in the allegory. This is why we were given descents, in order to be able to learn the importance of the ascents, as it is written, as the advantage of the light out of the darkness. Specifically, through descents, one can come to know and appreciate the ascents, and then he can enjoy from the ascents and come to feel that these are our lives and the length of our days. But when one does not know the need for faith, because he thinks that by engaging in Torah and observing its mitzvot, it is enough for him to be considered a servant of the Creator. He is not given descents from above so as to appreciate the ascents. Their work is on the outside, meaning they have no intention of entering the inside. That is, they have no intention to completely annul before Kedusha, holiness. And holy means retired and separated from himself, as it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." at which time there is only the authority of the Creator, because the lower one wishes to annul before the root. And all he sees that it is worthwhile to live is only to benefit the Creator. For a person to be in a state where he wants to live only in order to give contentment to the Creator, he must provide himself with great faith in the greatness of the Creator to make it worthwhile to annul himself for the sake of the Creator. For dissents. But those who wish to work because of the importance of the Creator, who always did to increase the faith in the importance and greatness of the Creator, that only the importance and the greatness of the Creator obligates them to observe Torah mitzvot in order to achieve adhesion with the Creator, those people must always assume and value the greatness of the Creator. They must always assess that if they have some grip on spirituality, it is because the Creator is bringing them closer, while they themselves are completely powerless, unless they see that they will derive from it some benefit for themselves. It follows that the main work is to annul himself. Yet, this is against nature. Only by his salvation can they achieve it. Thus, during an ascent, the person thinks that it is natural, and that he does not need the Creator's help at all. Hence, a correction was made called descents, where one is always shown the measure of his strength, what he can do by himself. And how does he see it? When he's tossed off from his state, when he already thought that he was already human, and it's not like the beasts that work for themselves. Suddenly, he cannot even feel that they wish to throw him down into such baseness, in which he discovers himself afterwards.
Ulam.
And yet, during the descent, he does not see that he is beginning to decline. Rather, when he descends, he remains unconscious. But after being down for some time, he also gets help from above. And he's told, know that now you're in decline. Before he's told that, he's unconscious. He does not know a thing. However, one should believe that this too is so, since knowing does not come by itself. Instead, one should know that these descents were given to him to learn how it is possible to appreciate the state of ascent. But during the descent, one cannot learn anything from it. However, during the ascent, he can make a true judgment and say, now I am in a state of faith, and this came to me from the Creator. Otherwise, I would immediately fall into a state of self-love. If he does not make this calculation,
ולתת תודה להשם
he's immediately thrown. And one should thank the Creator for bringing him closer. It turns out that it is impossible to obtain real pleasure from nearing the Creator unless we can appreciate it, as said above, as the advantage of the light out of the darkness. It follows that for the creatures to receive the delight and pleasure and feel it, those descents were all necessary. They are called exile. And this is called the Shekhinah in exile, or the Shekhinah in the dust. Only by this will one have the vessels to feel the delight and pleasure. With the above said, we can understand why specifically at the time of freedom, which is Passover night, the complete wholeness, as the Ari says, that Mochin, that Malchut, has the same Gadlut, since Malchut has Mochin of Chaya, and so it is on Passover night. The answer is that precisely during an ascent, when one thinks of the descents they had, they get the power to elicit the importance of ascents. Otherwise, it is akin to one who is given something that is worth a fortune, and he uses it and enjoys it as though its worth was a few pennies. Thus, specifically at a time of freedom, it is possible to ask the questions. That is, it is not about the questions, but we need the questions in order to understand the answers. As Bala Sulam said about what is written, speak now in the ears of the people, and let them borrow every man of his neighbor. Rashi interprets that he warned them that righteous will not say he kept, and they shall serve them and they shall afflict them, and he did not keep. Afterwards, they will come out with great possessions. There is a question. If the Creator wished to give great possessions to the people of Israel, could the Creator not give them? Did he have to tell the people of Israel to be fraudulent and borrow vessels of silver and vessels of gold from the Egyptians? He answers that when the Creator told Abraham to give you this land to inherit it, Abraham asked, by what will I know that I will inherit it? And he said unto Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. And afterwards they will come out with great possessions. He asked, what do we see in the Creator's reply to Abraham's question? By what will I know? That by being in a land that is not theirs, meaning in exile, Abraham could be certain that they would inherit the land. He said that since there is no light without a vessel, meaning no filling without a lack, and Abraham said to the Creator that he did not see that they would need such great lights called the land of Israel. Hence the Creator told him that by being in exile and by asking the Creator to deliver them from the exile, how will he deliver them? Only with great lights, since the light in it reforms him. Thus, then they will already have the need for the great lights. He explained about this, that this is why the Creator said to borrow vessels from the Egyptians, meaning to take the questions of the Egyptians, but only as a loan, to receive the lights, and then return the vessels to them. In other words, they took the questions in order to understand the answers. It is, as was said above, that it is impossible to understand the light if not from within the darkness. This is why all the questions come specifically at the time of freedom.
Seemingly doesn't exist. It's clear what is the next state. Rather, for the first time in his life, a person understands that his path is made out of questions and the answers of the Creator, and also questions from the Creator, and it's upon the person to collect them and one by one ask for each question to reveal to him more and more the attitude of the
Burada bir mantık dahil yolu ve mantık ötesi yolu bize seçenek olarak verilmiştir.
He gives us the choice between above reason and within reason. How can a person keep his heart from the bad states like it says here that he was heretic and things like that?
He's incorporated of this state, and that's why you can say that he can hear them. He's incorporated. He goes through those states, is immersed in them, is incorporated in them, and later, out of these negative states, he begins to ask further. And he reaches the answer.
Myself. What can help me, what kind of image or thought, in order to ask for faith? What does it mean to ask for faith?
It means that you're in a state like you're in right now, but slightly different, and you're filled with the light of faith.
Different in which direction? What does it mean to be filled with the light of faith?
I don't know. If you're not full, then you don't know what it means to be full by it, to be filled by it.
So I need to be supported by records that I had when I felt something.
I don't know, you need to ask the Creator to bring you closer to faith.
Well,
that's it. You need to connect more to the friends in order to be among them, and from that to receive, to be impressed by the need for faith they have.
What is the difference between the questions and the slander?
You're asking questions because you think that by solving them, by answering them, you'll be able to reach the goal. That's why the questions are legitimate questions you are raising to reach the goal.
But with the questions too, a person is inside his reason. So is there a difference between the slander that is within his reason And that's the state of the questions.
The questions are, there are questions that come from within a, from a negative desire, but there are questions that a person must resolve or get answers to in order to approach the necessary state.
He speaks about the four questions that we ask on the night of Passover, which seemingly elevate us to a very high place.
Yes.
And opposite that, he describes a state where a person has lack of faith. He's asking questions and it brings him down to a very low place. So what is the difference between these questions and those questions?
The difference is essential, qualitatively essential. What does a person want to receive with these questions? Either he's asking for help from the Creator, which should come according to his degree, or he's missing out and is not asking for what's necessary. So the questions have to be also the questions themselves. Who is the Creator that he should listen to him? What is this work to you? And through these questions, he can see that he's not. Because you feel yourselves in an ascent. In a special state.
It
feels like we've exhausted the state pretty quickly. And then he also says that the Creator brings us down in order for us to recreate his greatness so that we will be able to work for him for his benefit. So what are we missing out? What am I missing out? During the descent also,
we forget about the Creator to some extent. And then the upper force that does everything disappears relative to the eyes of a person, and a person doesn't know what to hold on to. What should he reach for? Where should he move to?
What does it mean to make up for ourselves the greatness of the Creator during the descent? What is this work? How do we do it?
Talk amongst yourselves, and it's enough for the Creator to be revealed. Because when we speak, there's a desire between us to attain the Creator. And each and everyone wants to connect to the friends and together with them reach or come to the correct bestowal, the correct deficiency for the revelation of the Creator. And that's it, that's enough.
Last question. Because we're always searching for the quality of bestowal and love, this is what we are always lacking. And the Creator himself, who arranges all of the states, he's a goal. Seemingly, we forget about him. I don't know, we seemingly lack something which is not exactly him, to bestow to him. But rather, we lack being like him, bestowing, loving. So what is this lack? That what we lack is him, a connection with him, to bestow to him. Seemingly we don't reach this deficiency.
How
should we come to this? I think what is demanded of a person is to point with his finger. Literally, that he is the one that we lack. The Lord our God, and we wish to reach him.
Again, how is it possible to feel that this is the Creator's view, that the Creator specifically chose this path for us of above reason, and the concealment and everything we see, that this is something that He chose for us? This is the best possible thing, as Rabash says in the article, that Baal HaSulam also said the same thing.
We will be able to feel it better by asking and receiving an answer, where this answer is truly depicting for us the response of the Creator.
So can we ask the Creator that He will open up it for us, that You have chosen this way for us? Can we ask Him for it?
Yes.
Now, what is this sin of the tree of knowledge, because of which we cannot be under concealment, because of which we don't want to undergo correction? This is our heart's inclination, that we don't want all of the correction that the Creator had prepared for us because of this sin of the tree of knowledge. Ever since then, it's difficult for us to walk in this path. So what is this thing that happened, or what is this thing that it's the root of all of our problems? It's our ego that doesn't fall asleep and doesn't ever come out of us, but rather, to the contrary, it is constantly making it more difficult for us to detect it.
But he said there was something there, that serpent. Before it, everything was seemingly fine, and since the moment that it opened, something opened up to him, and we are carrying this baggage to this day.
Yes.
So what is this thing? What happened there? Suddenly we're... What is this deed? What happened in creation that we suddenly are unable to go in faith? We don't want to take these corrections upon ourselves.
This is because of this quality we mean as called the serpent. That we receive an intellectual answer and we're satisfied with it.
So there's a power that convinces us, that's convincing us. What is this power that we have to deal with, that convinces us that we don't need correction? We can keep going like this without correction, without bestowal, without faith. What is this power? What is this thing? Where does it come from?
It all comes from the Creator, and we are in the middle, in between this and that.
What is this that it relates to love your friend as yourself, this slander? Rabash keeps adding it there. The slander in the love your friend as yourself is grave. How is that related to love your friend as yourself, this problem?
Because this is actually the main condition, that if we were able to keep it, then we wouldn't feel all of the other questions. Ultimately, only out of the fact that we cannot keep love your friend as yourself, all of the questions come. Yes, duty.
I heard
that we need to connect to the friends more in order to be impressed by the need for faith they have.
What does that
mean?
How do we receive faith?
Because each one has a need for faith, but in a different form. And so if they connect between them, if they connect these, the needs of each one, they end up with a one complete need, and with that they turn to the Creator. So it helps them to connect between them.
Each one has a need for faith in a different way?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I don't know what it means. Each one feels this need in a different way.
And the connection between us, what does it combine, compose?
It gives us all in all the general need.
What is the need for faith?
The need for faith. It's the common force with which to bestow to the Creator.
And we can attain faith only with the friends.
Yes, you can't do it alone.
And this faith is faith above reason?
Faith.
Tudo.
Yes.
Rav, הוא כותב פה באמצע מאמר מה שאין כן.
He writes here in the middle of the article, these people who wish to work because of the importance of the Creator, who always need to increase the faith in the importance of the greatness of the Creator, that only the importance and greatness of the Creator obligates them to observe Torah and Mitzvot in order to achieve adhesion with the Creator. These people must always assume and value the greatness of the Creator.
So
he's given us a description of the correct intention. And then when I look at my work, our work, I see that we speak a lot about the connection between us, the bond between us, the greatness of the friends perhaps, the greatness of the path, but how do I connect that to the greatness, the importance of the Creator, as he writes here? Help me see the connection, because I don't quite understand. You're teaching us, you've been teaching us for years how to work on the connection and the importance between us. And here he says everything he needs to work is because of the importance of the Creator.
Yes.
So how do we combine these two things?
What is the goal?
The goal is to reach Lishma, adhesion with the Creator.
How do I see inside this Lishma, the Creator, His greatness, His existence, and myself approaching Him?
That's the question, right? That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
And again, the answer is seemingly in our study. We've been hearing it for years, and you're not just teaching it for nothing. Work on the connection between you. But I have this short circuit in my brain between these two things. That's what I'm trying to resolve. It's clear to me that they are related, but I can't understand how and what way.
Fine. We need more questions.
But those who wish to work because of the importance of the Creator, who always need to increase the faith in the importance and the greatness of the Creator, that only the importance and greatness of the Creator obligates them to observe Torah and Mitzvot in order to achieve adhesion with the Creator. Those people must always assume and value the greatness of the Creator. And they must always assess that if they have some grip on spirituality, it is because the Creator is bringing them closer, while they themselves are completely powerless unless they see that they will derive it from some benefit for themselves. It follows that the main work is to annul himself. Yet, this is against nature, and only by his salvation can they achieve it.
Is that clear? To annul one's self-benefit, that is what a person needs to understand. That is the place. And if he annuls it, cancels it, so then the Creator can be revealed in any measure that he needs to, that he wants to. Okay.
Раф, вы вначале сказали, что падение и подъемы должны проявляться одновременно. Можно ли?
You said in the beginning that ascents and descents should come simultaneously. Can we say that the work in a descent on the greatness of the goal, this is the ascent?
As much as we are in ascents and descents, along with that, we need to value in all these states also what's revealed to us.
Buenos días, Rab. Buenos días, Crimundial. De acuerdo al último párrafo del texto, ¿qué significa?
According to the last paragraph in the article, when he says it's impossible to understand the light unless from within the darkness, therefore all the questions are precisely due in the freedom. So she's asking, what does it mean that all the questions come precisely at the time of freedom?
Then we can really see the correct picture and see ourselves and the Creator in the right relation between us. Meaning it becomes clear to us. That's why the state itself is called freedom. Again, what did he ask?
Kos is asking, what is the action of borrowing vessels in the ten? How do we implement this action in the ten?
We connect and we scrutinize what the greatest deficiency is, and with it we turn to the Creator and demand connection. In the connection, we get forces, discernments. We organize our vessel in a more correct way towards the Creator. And in this way, we attain the vessel. That's in a gradual manner.
Mm-hmm. Begin to operate on him, so it will bring a person to annul himself.
The work of man is to see oneself that he could be under the influence of thousands of forces, but eventually he must connect from that state through them to the Creator and understand that the Creator is his true source, and only he is always with man, and only he stands Only he is destined to bestow to a person to help him, to save him. And only by praying to the Creator, he can reach that connection. And in this way, exit the depth of his ego.
To operate on me in a manner of annulment.
When I aim myself to bestow on society, on my ten, that they will help me, they will help me exit myself. And to be not in order to receive, but in order to bestow, to connect to them. So one man with one heart, and in this way, as a unit, as a ten, an independent unit, to work.
Thank you for this article. It's very beautiful, and it talks about the power of faith. I was left with many impressions, but one that stuck the most is connection. We talk about connection all the time. This article shows that we cannot connect without faith. And that we are constantly giving the descent so that we will see that we don't have any strength to bestow. And that when we experience the descent, we have to cry to the Creator to give us the power to bestow, which will then, we will reach the point of faith and connect. My question is, it's faith the means by which the Creator reached the purpose of creation?
Faith isn't a means, you could say, to attain the purpose of creation, but it is a quality that you reach, and in it you reveal the purpose of creation. It's not a means, it's the quality itself, that in it the purpose of creation is revealed.
Headline, remembering and forgetting, keeping and losing. During the exile, considered the female world, the work is in keeping. One who flaws one's work might lose what he is given. And dvekut, adhesion, in this world, is by the force of keeping. And the adornment of the force of keeping is by elevation of the emotion, as well as the elevation of one's wholeness and the strength of his dvekut. However, in the future, at the end of correction, there will be no fear of loss or theft, for death shall be swallowed up forever. And here the work is limited to remembering. Although, accordingly, one form should have sufficed, the nature of the body is to grow tired of the same form. Hence, forms must be dressed and undressed one at a time. So the body will appear to have a different form each time to increase the desire. This is similar to blocking the horse's eyes while it is circling the grindstone, so as not to tire it. This is most profound and grave, since it is simple. His will from the servant is the most praiseworthy. Also, it is known that the closer the work is to nature, the better it is. The rule is that if one of the two lovers, love increases to a complete and utter measure, meaning natural and complete, the whole force of love will quench in the other. Although his reason will evidently show the lover's measure of love, his ability to love his friend in return will not grow at all. On the contrary, according to the sensation of the totality of the lover, the sense of love will gradually die out in him, for he will not fear him, as his love is absolute. For this reason, the measure of spirituality, the love in the nature of the loved subject,
doing with your hand. Because we are made of the will to receive, which is concerned according to its nature, only concerned of itself. That's why, in order to correct that will to receive, we need to build an entire system that will raise the will to receive above itself, that it can somehow become independent and feel who's bestowing upon it, how it's bestowing upon it, in a way that isn't dependent on its own nature. Otherwise, he'll do actions of his own, and that's it. That's why we need here to relate to the will to receive, that to begin with, it is not worthy at all of attaining the quality of bestowal, to feel the giver. Because the feeling of the giver means to feel what's outside of him, and what's outside of him, meaning in qualities that are opposite of what he has. And that's it. Next. Indeed, his will is to proclaim his love, yet allow room for expanding the boundaries of love. These are two opposites. For when his love becomes known, it acquires a mandatory form, like perfect and natural love. Hence, there is zero room for work to expand the love, since the complete and loyal lover is dissatisfied with the reward of the loved one in return for his love. As it is written, if you are righteous, what will you give him? On the contrary, when the loved one feels that his lover has a desire to love him in return for some reward, that place becomes deficient. Since when there is a desire for reward, his love changes when the reward is absent. Thus, the love is not absolute. For this reason, it is not complete and natural, but conditional. When the condition is cancelled, the love is cancelled. As in a vision of peace, and there is no peace. This is evidently known that the curse does not adhere to the blessed. As it is written, will give wisdom to the wise, and the servitude in adding and expanding the wholeness does not relate at all to one who is deficient, but to the truly complete worker. And to the complete worker, it seems that there has no room for work at all. This is the meaning of the remembering, such as when one tells the one he loves, there is a bag full of gems to show my love. In this way, the loved one strains to accurately count the sum of gems in order to reveal the love in his own heart, too. In this way, the love itself does not change at all when his work is not counted, since he already has them. However, in return, to return some reward to the one who loves him, he touches the gems extensively in order to be rewarded with always showing the great measure of the love. In this way, the feelings of love always reach from one to the other and multiply, while the essence is not changed. This is the meaning of adopting different combinations. Although the essence is the same, not to lose or corrupt even a tiny spark of the potential disclosure of the hidden forces that always exist in the matter, it appears in new combinations each time, which the corporeal eye has never seen. By this, the matter tastes a new flavor and harnesses itself to suffer and return always and forever. This is similar to many meals from which the matter is satisfied and wishes to duplicate that form many times, or to couplings, since new flavors are always available for it.
What to do?
I don't know. What is he saying? If we repeat the same actions, there's no actual repetition because our desire constantly is new. And as a result, we come to new discernments. There's always a new flavor. And by this you will understand.
Now you understand the association of matter in the body and a soul, due to the matter that is rooted in forgetfulness, and even worse, by quenching any kind of absolute love. By this it gives the soul room for mandatory work, meaning to return in different combinations every time. Otherwise, the flaw will reach the soul as well, because of the mask in the roots of the above mentioned matter. Even though the love itself is perfect and complete, it is seemingly covered due to the matter by being compelled to return and repeat, the additions increase beyond the fund, and the boundaries of love wondrously expand.
Audience.
What I understood, we need the shell, the klipa of Egypt, and then there's other examples for klipot, that while there is love, we'll be able to increase it upon it.
Yes.
So what does that work? Why do we need to clip the klipa in order to increase the love?
Because through the klipa, through the shell, we can connect to love. And through the love, we are drawn to reveal this whole structure, both the shell and the holiness.
Why, if there is no shell, so we to increase the love upon it, why is it not possible to increase love?
Because the shell is what's missing for the depiction of the love in its entirety.
Why isn't it possible to just increase love with no limits?
There's no such thing as without end, unboundedly. You need a shell in order to depict the shape of love in its complete form.
What's this phenomena in nature that you can't define love if there's no klipa against it?
We see that in every form we reveal in nature, there are two things, two opposites. And we can't speak of any one phenomenon if there is no opposite phenomenon contradicting it.
How can we use this principle while we are in only in gathering the deficiencies, only gathering the klipot? Is that in the future, who knows what's even going to come?
We cannot work with any discernment if we don't have something opposite from it.
Here, Baal HaSulam describes how we need all the previous discernments, and it's written in a lot of places that we gather all the vessels so afterwards we'll have what to stand with no flaws and so on. So how can we even get any forces from this when today we do some kind of work that will serve us throughout the whole path until the degrees of love?
We nevertheless work as Baal HaSulam directs us, that we reveal everything from its opposite and not otherwise, or we would not feel it as the advantage of the light from within the darkness. So we cannot feel the light too unless we reveal the darkness. And therefore, this is how we reach the revelation of all of creation in its completeness. We cannot even imagine how much, if we weren't in opposite forms, we wouldn't reveal what is before us right now. So the spiritual
revelation. By spiritual revelation, he means that we will have a big addition in the corporeal revelation.
הוא כותב שיש פה כלל אם אחד משני
he writes that there's a rule that if one of two lovers his love will increase completely he'll turn off all the love that comes from his friend. Why is it the more love you show the other, so on the other hand the love is turned out in the other?
He doesn't have a place to show his own love because everything is filled with wholeness from one side.
So how do you make room for the other to show love?
By the Creator being hidden. This is what he did.
Why doesn't awaken us to increase love and give back? Why when one gives love, it doesn't awaken another need to give love?
For this, you first need to come to an understanding and a desire.
Between friends, how are we supposed to work in a way that on one hand to give love? And I don't know, what's the right form of relationships according to that law?
Between friends, we need to show the love in every way, in every direction, and in every measure.
But if we work in a tendency for unconditional love between the friends, so what response should we even expect? That the love will increase, or should it turn off, or...
I can't explain it, perhaps. But if we... If we are drawn to connection, to the complete connection between us, and each one can complete his relation to the friends, then we come to a state that all of us both make room for everyone and complement everyone.
What's a place for love?
The deficiency.
And when a person gives love to his friends, so everyone has a place in a deficiency for love?
They should try to work on it, to reveal it.
I need to reveal in them a deficiency to love, to give them place to love?
Yes.
How to give a friend place for love?
Showing you love him. And you too expect him to feel, you expect to feel his love as well.
And if I give him love, shouldn't his love turn off according to this law?
No. On the contrary, if that's the case, then we come to a state where the love grows unboundedly and continually.
Disregarding on his behalf.
This we need to organize among ourselves in the relationships.
But we always have to give love to the friend without stopping. And he specifically feels on his behalf because he doesn't have fear to lose this love, so he doesn't pay attention and he disregards it and
continue. Even though the other one shows contempt and disrespect, There is a rule here. We just need to reach it, and then you'll see it.
What is the rule?
That in the end, you shift, you cross some boundary, and the friend begins to understand your love and respond to it.